This is a reasonable position to draw a line on. As for the room sharing, separate from the bed sharing, it is true that there are some industries where sharing hotel rooms is the norm, including academia and some nonprofits. But frankly, I think there are times when it's reasonable to push back on that as well. I come from nonprofits too, and I get the desire to be responsible with money. And I shared some hotel rooms with coworkers in my 20s, so I know that it is a thing that happens, although never again, holy hell no, never again. But there's a point where it's just not reasonable to ask that of people, especially senior people. And especially on particularly draining trips or when there would be three of you in the room. You know your organization best, so you know if there's room to advocate change there, but I wouldn't write it off. But sharing a bed, sticking with a flat, I'm not comfortable doing that again, is the way to go here. And then follow through. If you ever find yourself in that situation again, pick up the phone, call the front desk, and get an additional room, or at least a rollaway bed. Part of business travel is that you sometimes need to adjust your travel arrangements on the fly. And discovering that you've been booked into an intimate slumber party certainly qualifies as a good reason. 47. Your boss asks if you're looking for another job. If you're actively job searching, you might not be ready to tell your boss yet, which can make things awkward if he starts asking you about your longer-term plans with the company, or even asks you directly whether you're looking for another job. If you've determined that it's not in your self-interest to disclose your plans to leave your job, for example, if you have reason to think you would be pushed out earlier than you're ready to leave, say something like, "Obviously no one can predict the future, but I don't have any current plans to leave." This is true. You don't have any finalized, solid plans to leave. Nothing's written in stone, of course, but I'm happy being here. If someone came to me with a job that gave me opportunities that I don't have here, I'd have to consider it, but I don't have any current plans to leave. 48. You're resigning. People really agonize over resigning. I get a ton of letters from people who are dreading giving notice at work and who worry that they'll be inflicting a deeply personal wound on their boss and on their organization. The good news is it pretty much never goes down that way. Resigning doesn't need to be a big, difficult conversation at all. In fact, it would be pretty odd if it ended up that way. All you have to do is ask to talk to your boss in person, or over the phone if you work in different locations, and say this: "I've really enjoyed my time working here, but after a lot of thought, I've made the difficult decision to move on, and my last day will be blank." That's it. Your boss might ask why you're leaving, and you'll want to be prepared with an answer to that, so that you don't end up winging it and accidentally unleashing a tirade about something that you didn't mean to bring up. But that answer can be as simple as one of these: "This opportunity fell into my lap and I couldn't pass it up. I've learned a lot here, but I felt it was time for me to move on to something new." In other words, your answer doesn't have to be a detailed explanation of what really drove you to start looking. Of course, if you want to explain the reason, that's fine too. But know that you don't need to if you'd rather not get into it. Also, be prepared for the possibility that your boss might ask you if there's anything she can do to get you to stay. In general, it's a bad idea to accept counteroffers, since in most cases, the factors that drove you to start looking aren't likely to change. And even if they are, do you want to have to quit to get the things you want from your employer? But it's smart to think this possibility through before you resign so that you're not blindsided if it comes up. What about using a job offer to get a raise or promotion at your current job? Think carefully before using another job offer as a bargaining chip to get a raise or promotion at your current job. More often than not, you're better off trying to negotiate for a raise or promotion on your own merits and being willing to move on if you don't get it. The thing about counteroffers is that employers often make them in a moment of panic about losing someone at a bad time, but in many cases they can fundamentally change the relationship. Once their panic subsides and they've succeeded in keeping you, you're now the person who was looking to leave, and you might be seen as more dispensable if your company needs to make cuts in the future. And importantly, there are reasons you started job searching in the first place: culture misfit, dislike of your company's management, lack of recognition, and so forth. And those will stay problems after the immediate glow from your raise wears off. Plus, the fact that you needed to have one foot out the door to get paid what you're worth isn't a great sign. And there's no reason to think that future salary increases will be easier. In fact, the next time you ask for a raise, you might hear, "We just gave you that big raise when you were thinking about leaving." And of course, if you use a job offer to try to get your company to counter, there's no guarantee that you won't hear, "We can't match that, so go ahead and take it." Caveat, there are some industries where using counteroffers is an accepted method of getting a raise or promotion, but make very sure that you're in one before proceeding that way. 49. Your manager responds badly to your resignation. Most managers react to resignations with disappointment but acceptance. It's never great news to hear that a valued employee is leaving, but it's also a normal part of doing business, and most managers, even if disappointed, won't berate you or yell at you. But that's most, not all. Some managers do take resignations personally and react inappropriately. I once had a manager lock me in her office for 2 hours while she lectured me about how I was betraying the organization by leaving. This was pretty early in my career, or I would have known that I could get up and leave. If you encounter a manager who reacts badly, remember that your decision to leave and the timing of your departure are entirely up to you. Your boss can't make you stay or delay your departure if you don't want to. You're not an indentured servant. If your manager gives you a hard time about your resignation, stay cheerful, upbeat, and firm, and say something like this. "I appreciate that you want to keep me, but I've given it a lot of thought, and this is the right decision for me. June 15 will be my last day. Let's talk about what I can do between now and then to make the transition as smooth as possible." If your boss keeps pushing after that, repeat this as necessary. "I've thought it over, and my decision is final." If things become really uncomfortable, if, say, your boss is openly hostile, you can always say something like this. "I'd like to work out my final 2 weeks and leave things in good shape, but I'm not comfortable with the way you're talking to me. Do you think we can work together civilly for this period, or should we move up my ending date?" You could even change that last part to, "We either need to work together civilly, or today will need to be my last day." But you might be able to preserve the relationship and the reference by using the slightly softer first approach. 50. You think you're in danger of being fired. Worrying that you might be fired is a terrible feeling. If you seriously believe that you're in danger of being fired, as opposed to just having an anxiety freakout that isn't rooted in real evidence, one option is to talk to your boss and put your worries on the table. Say something like this. "I wonder if we could talk about how things are going. I know I've had some struggles and haven't picked up on the job as quickly as I think you were expecting me to. I'm working really hard on the things you've asked me to do differently, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to hit the bar you need. But I know that your concerns are serious ones, and I don't want to bury my head in the sand. Is your sense that I'm likely to be able to get to where you need me to be?" Depending on what the issues are, it's possible that you'll hear something that will reassure you, like that everyone struggles when learning this role, or that you've shown enough improvement that your boss is confident that things will work out. But it's also possible that you'll hear a pretty bleak assessment of your chances. If that happens, one option is to respond with something like this. "I really appreciate your being candid with me. Given that assessment, I wonder if we could plan for a transition that gives me some time to look for another job and gives you some time to search for a replacement as well. Maybe that could be the best outcome for both of us." A lot of managers are likely to be relieved at this kind of proposal. Few managers want to fire someone if it can be avoided, so if you make it easy for your boss to end the relationship without firing you, you can often get some things that help you. Time to look for a new job while you're still employed, not having a firing on your record, and having more control over the situation than you otherwise might. However, there's a big caveat here. There's a risk that this conversation could prompt your manager to fire you more quickly than he otherwise would have now that the subject has been raised. So you need to balance that possibility against the benefits of being able to talk about the situation openly. I can overhear my boss's dirty conversations with his girlfriend. A reader writes, My boss calls his girlfriend on the phone quite frequently. They have lovey-dovey conversations. His door is always open, so everyone in the building can hear this. I find this annoying and unprofessional. But I'm new, it doesn't seem to bother anyone else, and he's not the most approachable person, so I have chosen to ignore it and try to block it out. The conversations are usually PG. However, his most recent conversation went far beyond PG, as they were talking dirty to each other. It started as a, no, I miss you more, which led into him talking about various body parts, and then devolved from there. After I threw up a little in my mouth, I sat there in utter shock that he would talk like that at work. Now I'm concerned that this type of conversation might happen again, or worse, escalate in its raciness. Do I continue to ignore it since it doesn't seem to bother anyone else? I just can't understand how a professional can think this is appropriate work behavior. Ew. Yes, this is wildly inappropriate. Personally, I would choose to find this incredibly amusing and file away stories to share with people later, but obviously not everyone is going to feel that way, and some, many, most people might feel downright uncomfortable, or as if their work environment has been sexualized against their will, which is an entirely reasonable way to feel. If you had worked there longer and had decent rapport with him, I'd suggest just closing his door when these conversations begin, and or saying to him, Barnaby, I think I now know way too much about your relationship with Clarissa. Can you close the door next time? Or, did you know we can hear your conversations with Clarissa, and some of them are uncomfortable to overhear? Or, whoa, I feel like I'm working inside a Cinemax movie. Or whatever you are gross, cut it out formulation you felt comfortable with. Even as a new person, you could certainly say something directly if this happens again if you want to. For example, Barnaby, you probably don't realize that your conversations can be heard over where I am. That normally isn't a problem, but I'm uncomfortable hearing really personal ones, like the one you just had. Would you mind if I close your door if I'm overhearing something like that again? But you're new, you don't find him approachable, and no one else is saying anything. So if you don't want to take it on yourself, I see two other options. One, say something to someone else if an appropriate person exists. Who this person is will vary by office. In some offices, your boss might have a no-nonsense assistant or deputy who could easily tell him to cut this out and be listened to. In others, you might have a competent HR department who could tell him to stop it. I don't know the dynamics of your office, but if there's someone who strikes you as sensible and who has some standing, you could discreetly have a word with that person. For example, I like working with Barnaby, but he has a habit of having really personal conversations with his girlfriend with the door open, at least one of which has strayed into sexual territory. I don't want to cause awkwardness with him, especially since I'm new. Can you think of someone who has standing to suggest that he stop or just close the door? Two, headphones. Headphones are God's gift to us for dealing with socially inappropriate coworkers, and you should take advantage of this gift if you can. Four phrases to use when you talk to your boss. Keep these useful phrases in your pocket to use when talking to your boss. One, I of course can do it that way, but I want to flag that X could potentially be a problem if we do. If you think that something your manager is asking you to do is a bad idea, this is a way to say so without seeming argumentative. You're clearly saying that you'll do what he has asked, but you're also offering another perspective that he might find helpful. Two, I realized that I wasn't totally sure what you meant when you said X earlier. If your manager says something that leaves you confused or alarmed, ask about it. Even if you didn't think to bring it up in the moment, it's okay to ask about it later. In fact, most managers would want you to, so that they're able to clarify what they meant. Three, thanks for telling me that. It's really useful to hear. If you're cheerful and openly appreciative when your manager gives you feedback, she'll be more inclined to continue doing it, and she'll probably think of you as incredibly easy to work with, too. Four, can I repeat back my understanding of what you just told me to make sure I've got it right? This is a good question to ask if your boss doesn't always think to mention crucial details until you're halfway through an assignment, or if you don't always leave conversations with the same understanding. Giving a brief summary of what you're taking away from the conversation can help you both spot places where you might not be on the same page. Chapter 2, Conversations with Your Coworkers. Relationships with coworkers can be tricky. You spend an enormous amount of time around them, but you generally don't get to choose who they are. There's professional pressure to maintain reasonably good relations with them, which means that you can't always speak your mind in the way that you might with friends or family. And yet, their behavior can have a huge impact on your quality of life at work, and sometimes on your work itself. On top of that, there are often internal politics to navigate, which can make even the most straightforward conversations feel fraught. Given all of this, it's understandable that you might be hesitant to raise an issue with a coworker. But so often, just approaching the problem in the right way will get you the results you want, without introducing the kind of tension you might fear. In this chapter, I'm going to give you specific wording to help you do that. First, though, I want to lay out some key principles that you can use whenever you need to approach a coworker about something uncomfortable. Use the same tone you would use to raise any other work-related problem. You want to use the same tone that you'd use to say, "Hey, I'm having trouble opening the spreadsheets you're sending me. Can you help me figure out why?" Using that kind of tone, as opposed to a hesitant, "I feel super awkward about saying this," tone, makes your coworker more likely to respond in kind. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. If you are doing something that really annoyed a coworker, wouldn't you want to know? Even if the conversation is a little awkward in the moment, some passing awkwardness is probably preferable to staying oblivious to something that's driving someone batty, especially if you can easily change your behavior. In most cases, you should try to talk to your coworker directly before escalating the situation to your manager. There are times when you should loop in your manager if the problem is a very serious one, such as reporting sexual harassment or a coworker who's cheating a client, or one that recurs after you attempt to address it on your own. But if the issue is more of an interpersonal one, your manager is likely to want you to address it on your own, at least to start. And really, you'd probably want someone to talk to you directly before escalating a concern to your boss. So it's good to give your coworker that same consideration. Again, with exceptions for very serious situations. Own the message. Sometimes people are tempted to borrow the authority of a group when delivering a difficult message, which leads them to say things like, "You're annoying everyone when you get so off topic at meetings," or "None of us like having potlucks this often." But even if you know that others feel the same as you, framing things as if you're speaking for a group can alienate the person you're talking to. You wouldn't be thrilled to hear that a group of people had been complaining to each other about you, after all. This framing can also derail the message you're delivering if the person knows there's at least one other person who doesn't agree with you. It's okay to just speak on behalf of yourself. "I'd rather not have potlucks so frequently." Sometimes being self-deprecating can make things easier. If you're worried that the message you want to deliver will come across as, "There's something wrong with you," sometimes you can effectively reframe it as, "This is just a weird thing about me." For example, if you want to ask a touchy-feely coworker to stop hugging you all the time, you could say, "Please stop hugging me." But it'll probably cast a chill on the relationship. You'll likely cause less awkwardness if you instead say something like, "Hey, I'm not a hugger. I know you mean it warmly. I'm just not very touchy-feely." Framing it as, "It's me, not you," gets you results with minimal awkwardness. And if it doesn't work, you can always take a more serious approach. Important caveat here. This tactic makes sense in some situations and not in others. You needn't pretend it's your own idiosyncrasy that makes you not want to, say, hear racist comments. Try to make things normal afterward. After an awkward or difficult conversation, try to find an opportunity soon afterward to have a normal conversation with the person about something else. That will reinforce that you're not upset and hopefully will help to reset the dynamic. Not every issue needs to be raised. Working with other humans means that you're going to be around other people's annoying habits. It's okay to speak up when something makes it harder for you to do your job, seriously impacts your quality of life, or has unintended consequences. But some annoying things that coworkers do come with the territory of working in an office. If the offending behavior is relatively minor, sometimes it just makes sense to live with it, or at least to try for a while before deciding you can't. 1. Your coworker is doing something loud and annoying. One of the more frequent complaints that I receive at Ask a Manager is, my coworker is doing something loud and annoying. From playing music without headphones, to taking too many calls on speakerphone, to humming incessantly. These things might sound relatively small, but when you're trapped in close proximity to them, they can become truly aggravating over time. And there's no end to the annoying noises other people can make when we're trying to concentrate. I once received a letter from someone who wrote of her gum-chewing coworker, "I can hear the gum sloshing in her mouth and the tiny pops that she makes with it." Most people don't realize they're making noise and will be receptive to a polite request to stop. You can say it this way. "I'm finding it hard to focus when I can hear your music. Could you try using headphones?" If you want to soften this, try, "I actually really like your music, but it makes it hard for me to concentrate." It's hard to get defensive when someone is complimenting you. You probably don't realize this, but you have a habit of drumming your fingers on your desk for much of the day. I've tried to block it out, but it's pretty distracting. Would you mind putting down something soft to reduce the noise it makes? I know it's weird, but the sound of gum popping is like nails on a blackboard to me. Any chance you can try not to pop it? If you're worried that you'll sound too nitpicky, a good tactic can be to poke fun at yourself a bit while you're asking. For example, "I'm bizarrely sensitive to sound," or "I have a weird hang-up about gum noises." By signaling that you haven't lost perspective, you're decreasing the likelihood that the other person will get defensive, since now it's about you, not him. 2. Your coworker isn't pulling her weight on projects you're both responsible for. There's a reason so many people hate group work in school. One person often gets stuck with most of the work. Unfortunately, it's not always different in the work world. Sometimes your success depends on someone else, and that someone else isn't coming through. If your coworker is slacking off on projects you're both responsible for, you may need to talk to your boss about what's going on. But before you do that, try talking to your coworker directly. When you do, focus on the impact of what's been happening. It's not about your coworker being lazy. It's about how it's impacting your part of the work. If you've already covered your coworker's part of the work, "Hey, my understanding was that I'd cover X and you'd cover Y, but I ended up doing both last week since we were so close to the deadline and Y wasn't done. Can you tell me what happened?" If your coworker's part is still not done, "We can't move forward with X until you handle Y. Do you know when it'll be done?" If it's been happening over and over, "I keep not being able to move forward with my parts of the project because I'm waiting on pieces from you. I know that you have other things going on, but I'm worried about the impact the delays are having. Is there something we can do differently so that we're reliably hitting the deadlines we've set for ourselves?" And if you're ready to get even more serious about it, "I know you're busy, but when you don't cover your pieces of the project, I end up doing them myself, or we get into a schedule crunch. It's happened enough times that I think we need to change something about how we're tackling the work. If you don't have the time to do your pieces, could we talk to Jane about making other arrangements for them?" 3. Your coworker constantly complains about her job or your boss. Everybody vents about work now and then. But when you work with someone who's constantly unleashing a stream of negativity about her job, your company, and or your boss, it can get really old really quickly. It's exhausting to be around that kind of negativity, and it can make small problems start to feel like bigger ones. If you've listened to a coworker vent in the past, it can feel tough to ask her to stop now, but honestly, it's okay to do that. You can frame it in terms of your own quality of life at work. "I know you're pretty frustrated about things here. I honestly don't have the same concerns, but it's starting to pull me into a place of negativity too. Can we try to rein in the negative talk about work and talk about other things instead? I'd really appreciate it." I'm finding that talking about work frustrations so frequently is starting to impact how I feel about coming to work every day, and I don't want that. I'm trying to be more positive and focus on the things I like here instead. A totally different approach is to ask your coworker this the next time he complains. So what do you plan to do about it? You can then follow that up with, you sound pretty unhappy and have been venting to me for a while. Are you at the point where you're considering what you're going to do about it? If you consistently move the conversation in that direction, your coworker will figure out pretty quickly that you're not a satisfying person to vent to anymore. Or who knows, he may actually take the advice and start thinking about what to do about the situation. 4. Your coworker won't stop talking to you while you're trying to concentrate. Getting an overly chatty coworker to cut back on the chit-chat tends to require multiple conversations. First, explaining that you aren't available to talk as much as you'd like, and then ongoing reinforcement until the message sticks. Step 1. Cut the coworker off in the moment. For example, I'm actually just in the middle of finishing something, so I should get back to it. Or try a white lie, like, I've got to get ready for a phone call that's about to come in, or can't talk, I'm on deadline. Step 2. If addressing individual instances as they occur doesn't get the message across, your next step is to address the larger pattern. I like talking with you, but it's hard for me to do much of that during the workday. I usually need to get back to work pretty quickly. If you do genuinely enjoy your coworker's company, you could add, I'd love to get coffee with you sometime, but I've got to do a better job of not letting us get into longer conversations when I should be working. I'm finding that the amount we talk during the day is preventing me from getting my work done, so I need to really cut down on how much chit-chat we have. I know we're both in the habit of chatting a lot, so going forward, I'm going to be really vigilant about not doing that. I'm mentioning it now because I don't want you to think I'm being chilly when I can't talk as frequently. When the problem is less about lengthy social conversations and more about multiple small interruptions, I'm finding I need long, uninterrupted stretches in order to stay focused. I want to make sure you get your questions answered, though, so what if we schedule 1 or 2 meetings a week to talk and save things up for those? Step 3. Now you've put her on notice that you need to chat less. So when she starts chatting with you again, be direct and be firm. Sorry, I gotta stay focused here. Working over here. Dude, you are going to destroy my ability to finish this press release. I'm shutting you out. I'm on deadline. Let's talk later. 5. Your coworker's constant personal calls are making it hard to focus on your work. If your coworker's personal conversations are interfering with your ability to get work done, you have to speak up. Start with this. I know you have to take a lot of personal calls during the day. I'm finding that's making it really hard for me to focus on my work. I don't know if there's a way for you to take the calls somewhere else or if there's something else we might try. I'm sorry to ask this, and I want to be sensitive to your needs too, but I'm really having trouble concentrating some days. If it continues after that, it's time to be very specific about what you'd like your coworker to do differently. Sorry to raise this again, but your calls are still really distracting. Could you please take them away from your desk if there's going to be more than 1 or 2 a day? If that doesn't work, then the next step is to talk with your manager. If you feel weird about doing that, keep in mind that this isn't just an interpersonal issue. It's something that's impacting your ability to do your job. You can be pretty blunt. Kyle is on pretty frequent personal calls throughout the day, and it's making it tough to concentrate. I've tried using headphones, and I've tried asking him to take the calls away from our work area, but it hasn't solved the problem. Is there somewhere else I could sit, or is it possible for you to ask him to take those calls away from his desk? 6. You need shorter answers from a long-winded coworker. Trying to get a quick answer out of someone who's long-winded and prone to rambling is one of work life's constant frustrations. At least for me, I am an impatient person. But if you're willing to be direct about what you need from the person, there's actually some hope of keeping your exchanges to a more reasonable length. The first thing you can do when you know that you're dealing with a rambler is to try to head it off at the very start of the conversation by saying things like, I only have a minute, but wanted to quickly ask you about X. I have a lot of questions for you, so I'm going to ask that you focus on top-level responses, and I'll let you know if I need more details. Can you give me a brief 1-minute overview of X? I know there's a lot to this, so can we start with the quick upshot, and then if I need more details, I'll ask? Then don't be afraid to interrupt and redirect the conversation. This can feel rude because you probably wouldn't normally interrupt a colleague, but if someone is rambling on and on, it's okay to interject to provide more clarity about what will be helpful to you. And really, most chronic ramblers are pretty used to people jumping in. For example, I'm realizing I wasn't clear. I know there's a lot of background here, but what I really need is just X. I'm sorry to cut you off, but since I'm in a rush with this one, could we actually just go straight to what the status of X is? Sorry if I wasn't clear. This is actually a lot more than I need. For my purposes, just X would be ideal. Actually, since my piece of this is really just X, can we focus on that? 7. Your coworker keeps giving you last-minute work. When you're given last-minute work that is only last-minute because of someone else's poor planning, it can be tempting to put your foot down and say that you can't accommodate it without more notice. And in some contexts, you can do that. But in other cases, you'd come across as too rigid and out of touch with your employer's priorities if you refused. But that doesn't mean that you can't say something. If your coworker's delays are both A, avoidable, and B, hindering your ability to get your other work done, you should speak up. First, point out the issue, since your coworker who keeps giving you last-minute work may not even realize that what she's doing is a problem. Is there a way for me to get this type of work earlier? It can take a while to turn it around, and when I have other looming deadlines, it's hard to fit it in when I don't have more notice. Ideally, I'd like at least a few days with this kind of thing, since I'm fitting it in around other priorities. If it keeps happening after that, address it as it happens. I can try to fit this in, but I had most of today and tomorrow scheduled for other work. Is there any wiggle room on the deadline for this, since it's coming to me so late? 8. Telling a coworker that something isn't your job. There's an old adage that you should never say, "That's not my job." And sure, it's true that you shouldn't be rigid about sticking precisely to your job description. Most job descriptions evolve and expand over time. But there are times when it's appropriate, and even necessary, to point out that you aren't the right person to do a particular task. But you shouldn't just say, "That's not my job." Instead, you should explain why you're not the right person to handle whatever the task is, and when possible, suggest someone who might be. For example, "I'm on deadline with high priority X, and I've got to stay focused on that, so I can't help, unfortunately. Ophelia and I decided I needed to focus exclusively on cleaning up the donation backlog this month, so I'm not supposed to be taking on anything else right now." I'm not usually the person who handles that. I think Pablo is, and he should be able to help you. 9. Your coworker is leaning on you for too much help. You might have been happy to help out your coworker when he was new to the job or just learning a new task. But if he has continued to lean on you for help, beyond the point that seems reasonable, it's okay to say something, especially if it's distracting you from your own work. The easiest option, and the one you should try first, is to stop being so available. Say something like, "I'm sorry, I'm right in the middle of something, so I can't help. I'm having a hectic day, so I can't break from what I'm doing." But if that doesn't work, you might need to address it more broadly. Now that you've got the basics down for how to do this, I need to pull back from helping so much, since my own projects are piling up. It's getting tough for me to focus on my work when we're tackling so many questions together, so going forward, can you direct these sorts of questions to our manager? Can I ask you to start being really vigilant about checking your notes from training before coming to me? If you've reviewed your documentation and are still stuck, I can try to help, but I need to limit it so that I'm able to focus on my own projects. And I think you'll find a lot of the answers in there. How do I get my coworkers to stop using me for tech support? A reader writes, "Do you have any strategies to stop people from using me as the in-house tech support? I am by far the most technically savvy employee in my firm, and I'm happy to help with complicated or unusual IT requests. Lately, however, people who should have good IT skills are plaguing me with questions about everything from how to make cell borders visible in Excel to how to, no kidding, browse files. Literally a 20-something colleague with a degree and recent experience in an office did not know how to browse directories on his computer. I don't feel I can say I'm on a deadline or can't be interrupted because each request takes only a couple of minutes, but the time adds up and up. I also don't want to pretend to be too busy to stop for a second because it's an obvious lie if I then take a time out for a chat. How do I cut this out? I'm getting increasingly frustrated that I'm doing the same or better work as colleagues on my pay grade while also showing them basic computer skills they should already know. Well, first, you absolutely can say that you can't be interrupted even though the request would only take a couple of minutes. It's perfectly fine to say, sorry, I've got to finish something up, or I can't break my focus right now, or can't help having a hectic day. But I hear you that you want to still be able to chat with people or whatever without looking like you were obviously lying when you declined to help someone out 10 minutes ago. So I'd just tell people that you can't help with this kind of thing anymore and explain why. For instance, I'm pulling back on helping with this kind of thing because it started taking up a significant amount of my time. But if you Google the question, you should find lots of help. That's how I figured out most of this stuff. Or if you want to make it clear that you're willing to help on occasion, but only if they've tried to figure out the answer first, you can ask, what have you tried so far to solve it? If the answer turns out to be nothing, then you can say, do me a favor and Google this stuff before pulling me in. I'm getting a lot of requests for this kind of thing, and I need to limit them. If you've spent more than 15 minutes trying to figure it out and are still stuck, then feel free to come check with me, but that should solve a lot of them. But aside from suggesting specific wording, I also want to tell you that a big part of solving this is you believing that it's okay to protect your own time and say no to this kind of thing. If you truly internalize that it's okay for you to do that, those sorts of responses are more likely to come out of your mouth naturally. And you'll probably deliver them in the matter-of-fact way that will reinforce to your coworkers that you're not, in fact, their on-call help desk. 10. Responding to nosy questions. I get an enormous number of questions at Ask a Manager from people wondering how to fend off nosy questions from coworkers about their love lives, their health, and even their reproductive plans. I even once received a letter from someone whose coworker said to her, I noticed you've gone to the restroom a lot today. Everything's still working down there? Shudder. If you're faced with overly personal questions at work, the most important thing is to remember that you're not obligated to answer just because they're asking. Often when confronted with inappropriate question askers, people hesitate to shut the conversation down because they don't want to seem rude. But the person demanding answers to intrusive questions is the rude one, not you. It's not discourteous to decline to share personal information. Some options. That's awfully personal. Why do you ask? I'd rather not talk about my dating life. I'd rather not get into it at work. That topic is pretty personal to me. I'm not comfortable talking about that. Whoa, getting pretty personal there, huh? These lines will be enough to shut down most nosy people. But if you've got a coworker who still persists, at that point, you can say something like, please stop asking me that. It's not something I want to discuss at work. Thank you. 11. You let your frustration get the better of you and were rude to someone. Ideally, you'd always maintain your cool when dealing with frustrating coworkers, regardless of the provocation. But because you're human, and because some coworkers are incredibly irritating, it's possible that you might occasionally fall short of this standard. If it happens, you should apologize. Apologizing doesn't mean that the person wasn't rude or in the wrong herself, but you're still responsible for your own behavior. And in most cases, acknowledging that you snapped and apologizing for that will make you look a lot better, including with any bystanders who might have witnessed it. There's a pretty straightforward formula you can use if this happens. I wanted to come by and apologize for snapping at you earlier. I was frustrated with how our conversation was going, but I shouldn't have used that tone with you, and I apologize. Of course, if you find yourself regularly needing to apologize for being rude, that's a red flag that something bigger is going on that you need to resolve. My coworker writes a mean blog about me. A reader writes, I have a work colleague, Jay. Jay and I sit next to each other and have been friendly the entire time we've worked together. She has told me about things in her personal life, and I've shared the same type of stuff with her. A couple days ago, Jay showed me something she'd reblogged, and I happened to notice the URL of her blog. I looked up her blog later and started reading it. I didn't think I was being out of line, since she'd shown me the page already. Then I found a very recent post where she made fun of me for starting a cleanse. I was hurt, but I was even more hurt to find that her followers were urging her on to create a blog devoted to my, quote, ridiculousness, unquote. Apparently, she posts about me a lot, and the things she writes are very unkind. Now I'm at a loss as to what to do. I know that the best option is to let this go, back away from the, quote, friendship, unquote, gracefully, and not read the blog again. But the extent to which she has posted about me is pretty startling. Worst of all, she's recently posted a conversation we had about our boss, who had to go home for medical reasons. Jay kept insisting it was because of a prescription drug overdose, and I tried to stop the conversation by saying, I think it's a medical issue. Basically, saying it's private and using my tone to indicate I didn't want to talk about it. But now it's on this blog, and it looks like I was participating in gossip. It's not difficult to find her blog at all, and based on personal information she shares, it's not difficult to identify her or the small company that we both work for. Aside from my own anger and hurt over what I've found, the things she posts about could be potentially embarrassing for our employer. At a minimum, I'd really like her to take the post about our boss down, but I don't know how to broach this topic without blowing things up radically. Do you have any suggestions about how to tackle this diplomatically? Am I being unreasonably sensitive about things she posted in her personal blog that was probably never meant for me to see? Jay sounds like a jerk. You're not being unreasonably sensitive. Your coworker, who you thought you had a warm relationship with, is mocking you to strangers repeatedly. That's horrible. I'd say something like this to her. This is awkward to bring up, but I read some of the blog posts you've written about me and others in the office. I was pretty taken aback. I didn't realize that you felt like that, and I felt pretty awful seeing the things your followers were saying. Then stop and see what she says. If she has any sense at all, she's going to be mortified. She might tell you that she just does it to blow off steam, or that she doesn't really mean what she posts there. To anything like that, or any kind of defensiveness, I'd just respond, well, it was pretty upsetting to see. Because it was upsetting, and it's reasonable to tell her that, so that she's face to face with the consequences of writing mean things about people online. There's a good chance that she's going to take all those posts down now, after that conversation, or possibly make the blog private, if that's an option. It would take some serious gall to leave them up. But if she doesn't, or if you don't want to wait to see if she does, you could say, I'd appreciate it if you'd remove those posts about me. And or, I really think you should remove the post about our boss. And or, for what it's worth, I think the company would be concerned if they ever came across these posts, especially since it's not hard to identify who you work for. But that's really about saving her from herself, and you're not obligated to do that if you don't want to get into that level of discussion with her. Also, this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation, but it's important to remember that it's her actions that created the discomfort, not yours. 12. Your coworker keeps making judgmental comments about your snacks. I don't know what's up with coworkers who think they're the diet police, but offices across the land are dealing with an epidemic of people who comment on what other people eat. It's not unusual for a candy bar or a bag of chips to draw comments like, oh, being naughty today, or it must be so nice to be able to eat junk like that. And on the other end of the spectrum, if you usually eat healthy snacks like fruit or chopped veggies, you might get stuck hearing, lighten up and have a cupcake for once. Not only is this especially crappy for people who are struggling with disordered eating, it's pretty irritating for everyone else too. If you work with someone who does this regularly, it's okay to speak up and ask for it to stop. You could say, let's avoid diet talk here. It's not good for anyone. Do you realize that you comment on what I'm eating nearly every day? Hey, would you please stop commenting on what I eat? Thank you. We all get so much pressure about what we eat. Let's not bring it into the office too. Most people who regularly comment on other people's food haven't stopped to consider how it might be received, so being direct about it can sometimes jolt them into realizing that they're not just making harmless conversation. 13. your coworker is pushing food on you. A variation of the coworker who takes an inordinate interest in what you eat is the coworker who's aggressive about pushing food on you, insisting that you need to have a slice of cake or at least a bite of the homemade donuts she brought in. A simple no thank you should work, but with aggressive food pushers, that isn't always enough. If you regularly have to fend off insistent attempts to get you to eat things you don't want, try saying this. No thank you. I'm impressed with how well you cook, but I'm trying to be disciplined about what I eat. It can be tough when people push snacks on me, so I'd really appreciate it if you'd just let me say no thanks. 14. Your coworker doesn't respond to your emails. If you work with someone who's unresponsive to emails, sometimes the best course of action is to give up on using email and instead talk in person or pick up the phone. That's annoying if you're an email person, but sometimes that's the only way you're going to get what you need. That said, before entirely giving up on email, it can be worth asking the person directly if there's something you can do differently that would make it easier for her to respond to you. I've noticed that I often don't hear back from you about requests I send via email. Is there something you'd like me to do differently when I need something from you? At a minimum, this will call the person's attention to the problem and maybe shame her a bit, which isn't a bad thing in this situation. But it might also get you some helpful insight that you can use. For example, that she'll respond more quickly if you flag action items in the subject line, or that she's able to field emails more quickly in the mornings, or who knows what. You can also try proposing a course of action that you'll take if you don't hear back by a certain time. This isn't practical in every case, but often it's fine to say, if I don't hear back from you by Thursday, I'll plan to do X so that we stay on schedule. Keep in mind that if you do this, you have to give the person a reasonable amount of time to respond. An hour isn't usually enough, for example. And of course, you can't do this in situations where you don't have the authority to move forward without the person's input. But in many cases, it can help move something along. 15. Your coworker doesn't give you enough time to respond to emails. Every office has that irritating coworker who shows up at your desk just minutes after emailing you to ask, "Did you read my email?" Or who follows up with an increasingly agitated message when they haven't heard back about a non-urgent email sent just a couple of hours ago. Hopefully this irritating coworker isn't you. If it's you, you must repent and resolve to stop. If you have a coworker who does this, try this formula. I've noticed you do X. It's a problem because of Y. Can you do Z instead? I promise it will get you what you need. For example, hey, I've noticed that you'll often come by to check if I received an email you just sent. I promise you that I will look at your emails and respond to them, but it really breaks my focus when you come over to check. When you've sent an email, can you give me some time to respond? Sometimes it may take me a few hours or even longer if it's not time sensitive, but I'm really vigilant about getting back to everyone. Or if you don't want to get into all that, you can sometimes just retrain the person by sticking to this response when interrupted. Sorry, I'm on deadline, but I'll take a look at your email when I'm done. Obviously, you shouldn't do this with your boss. We're talking peers and below here. 16. Your coworker keeps coming into work sick and contagious. If you have a coworker who keeps coming to work sick and spreading germs around, you probably want to scream, "Stay home, germ monger." You probably shouldn't say it quite that way, but you can say something similar as long as A, your office provides reasonably generous paid sick leave, and or B, your coworker could work from home. If neither of those things is the case, your coworker may not realistically be able to stay home. Here are some ways to word it. Would you be willing to work from home while you're sick? I tend to catch colds and flus easily, and I imagine others may be the same. You must be miserable, and to be honest, I'm worried about catching it too. Can I take anything off your plate to make it easier for you to work from home or take sick leave? If you have the right rapport with the person, dude, you are infecting the whole office. Go home. 17. Your coworker keeps interrupting your conversations with others. If you have a coworker who always butts into your conversations, for example, answering questions you directed to other people, or just showing up in a private conversation that you didn't intend him to be a part of, you probably feel awkward asking him to stop. Especially if you're in an open plan office, it can be tough to navigate the etiquette around which conversations are private and which are open to everyone. And frankly, if the conversation is a social one and you're having it in a fairly public area, it would be rude to insist on excluding someone who wanted to join in. But if the conversation is work-related, you're allowed to set some boundaries. Here are some ways to do it. Actually, I really want to get Anna's input on this. Thanks for the thoughts. For now, I really want to talk to Anna about it, though, since she used to work on this project. Oh, I'm talking to Anna about a work project. Did you need one of us? We'll probably be about 5 more minutes. 18. Your coworker monopolizes meetings. People who act as if every meeting is a stage for their monologues and who dominate the conversation with lengthy comments on everything that comes up, no matter how irrelevant, usually get away with it because no one wants to be the one to tell them to cut it out. If you're the one running the meeting, you're in luck. You have the authority and, in fact, the obligation to redirect the conversation. You can rescue the meeting by being ready with statements like these. I want to be sure we get through all the topics on our agenda, so let's move on to our next topic. We only have 45 minutes scheduled today, so I'm going to ask people to hold comments until the end, unless they're crucial. It's an interesting point, but it's taking us away from our agenda today. So let's table that for now, and we can come back to it if we have time at the end. I'd love to give others a chance to weigh in. Who else has thoughts on this? If you're not running the meeting, your options are more limited, but you can still do your part to move the conversation along. I think we're getting away from the scope of our agenda today. Should we move back to the plan for the new office? It sounds like we're all in agreement about how to move forward. Should we get away from the exact details and move on to the other two items on the agenda? I just want to note the time. I know Ari had a couple of other items we need to discuss today, and it might make sense to focus on those. 19. Your coworker is a know-it-all who tries to tell you how to do your work. If you work with someone who has an opinion on everything, and not just an opinion, but the one true answer, and loves to tell you how to do your job better, your best bet is to ignore the person as much as possible. You're not likely to reform a know-it-all, so you're better off with a goal of simply not letting it get to you. That means being armed with responses like these. Thanks, I'll think about that. I've got it covered, but thanks. I feel good about how I'm handling this, but I'll let you know if I end up needing input. Keep it short and breezy and don't engage. My coworker treats me like his assistant. A reader writes, I work in a small office, 7 people total. I love my job and I've always received glowing reviews from my boss, the general manager. However, this is a male-dominated office with me and one other coworker, the only women who work here. Another coworker, let's call him Jim, refuses to learn our operating system, which includes all client data. He will walk up to my desk and interrupt whatever work I'm currently in the middle of to ask me to look up a customer and information about their service. He will even interrupt my lunch break while I have headphones in and ask me to look up client information. If he sees me on the phone with a client, he will instead walk over to the other woman in our office, let's call her Mandy, and ask her to look up information instead. He will even call Mandy or me with questions about clients when he is out of the office, at home, sitting in front of his company laptop. Jim treats both of us as his assistants, although neither of our jobs is related to his. He will ask Mandy or me to prepare presentations for customers who neither of us have contact with. He's asked me to help him format his email signature or save a picture onto his desktop, and other things that are incredibly simple to do. All of these tasks he has the time to do, but he just doesn't want to do them. Jim has worn a path in the carpet of our office, from his desk to my desk to Mandy's desk and back. There's nothing he won't ask either of us to do, and it doesn't matter how busy we are. He's never asked any other coworkers for help, and I feel like he's asking Mandy and me because we're the women in the office. How do I ask him to stop bothering me with tasks that he should know how to do? He's continuing to do this because you and Mandy are inadvertently reinforcing the behavior by allowing it. Stop rewarding his behavior with help and answers and retrain him to do this stuff himself or look elsewhere for answers. Use responses like these. Sorry, I'm on deadline. Try checking the manual. I'm not sure. Have you asked Leo or Jose? Have you checked the database? That's the first place to look. Sorry, I've got to get this finished before my lunch break ends. You want me to prepare a presentation for your client? Sorry, I'm busy with X, Y, and Z. Kat, Leo, and Jose all do that for themselves, so maybe one of them can show you how they do it. Sorry, I'm swamped right now. What have you tried so far? Can't help, sorry. Jose does fantastic presentations. Try checking with him. I don't know anything about those customers. Sorry. At some point, you could also consider just asking him head-on about what's going on, as in, hey, I'm curious about why you keep asking Mandy and me for help with these items, since we work in different areas than you. Have you tried asking Leo or Jose, since they do work so similar to yours? Depending on his answer, you might follow up with, have you noticed that you only ask the women in the office for assistance? That said, before you do this, make sure that you and your manager are on the same page about what your role is. If there's any chance that Jim is treating you like his assistant because he's been told that it's appropriate to go to you with these things, you need to know that. Otherwise, you need to know that your manager will have your back if Jim complains. 20. Your coworker keeps passive-aggressively CCing your manager on emails. It can be really annoying to have a coworker continually CC your manager on emails. It's hard not to interpret regular CCing of a higher-up as, I don't trust you to handle this correctly on your own, or I think your boss needs to be aware of how incompetent you are. If you're sure that your manager hasn't asked to be looped in and doesn't prefer it, you can speak up. For example, I've noticed that you're CCing Flora on most of your emails to me. Is there a reason you're looping her in? You actually don't need to CC Flora on this stuff. We try to keep these sorts of issues streamlined so that we don't inadvertently duplicate efforts. Can you start with me on this stuff, and then we can always loop her in if we need to? If that doesn't work, your best bet is probably to stop worrying about it. Ideally, your boss would tell her to cut it out, but if that's not happening, it's generally not worth pushing the issue. In part because pushing it after one or two conversations can make it seem that you're oddly invested in keeping your boss out of the loop. 21. Your coworker keeps going over your head rather than bringing concerns to you directly. There are times when it would make sense for a coworker to go straight to your boss rather than first talking with you about a problem. For instance, if you are embezzling company funds or punching clients, or something else that scores high on the list of seriously unacceptable behavior. But in most cases, it's okay to ask a coworker to come talk with you directly first, so that you have a chance to resolve whatever the concern is. Yori told me that you passed along some concerns about X. In the future, can you bring input like that to me first, so that I have a chance to hear your concerns directly from you and ask questions if I need to? Since I'm managing the X project, would you come directly to me if you have concerns about it? If we're not able to resolve them between ourselves, and you feel it's important enough to take to Yuri at that point, of course you should. But I'm hoping that you'll start with me so that I have a chance to hear and respond to your concerns. One big exception to this approach. If your coworker has pointed out issues to you in the past and is now concerned that there's a pattern, it actually is appropriate for him to escalate straight to your manager. Talking about a concerning pattern is manager feedback stuff, and something that a peer doesn't really have standing to address with you anyway. 22. Your coworker keeps checking her phone or email while you're trying to meet with her. Whether and how to say something to a colleague who's attached to her phone or email when you're trying to talk with her really depends on hierarchy. Your approach should be different depending on whether you're in a junior, senior, or peer relationship to the person. If you're peers, try one of these. Should I give you a few minutes to take care of that? I think this will go more quickly if we can focus on it for a few minutes. Is now good, or do you need to deal with your phone or email? I know you're juggling a bunch of things and are having to deal with stuff coming in on your phone and email. Do you think we can focus on this for a few minutes? I don't think we'll need long. If the person is junior to you, you can be pretty direct about asking her to stop. Can you put that away while we're meeting, please? But if the person is senior to you, you need to be more delicate in your approach. For example, it looks like you're busy. Should I come back? Beyond that, though, it's usually a senior person's prerogative to decide to multitask during a meeting, especially if that senior person is your manager. But if it becomes a pattern, you could try saying something like this. When you're on your phone for so much of our meeting time, it's tough for me to know if I should keep talking or wait.